This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Home ownership for generations, a patch of land and a home for raising a family represented a safe, attainable way of pitching a stake in the American dream. Today, dreaming of the perfect home is entertainment.
But one specific item on her wish list might be tricky.
I don't want a lot of trees around the house because I just don't like the sound of birds chirping in the morning. It's not that I don't like birds. It's just that I don't like them chirping like 4 a.m. and I'm trying to...
That's a clip from House Hunters, which along with a bunch of spinoff shows and websites like Zillow, Curbed, and Easy Street have made real estate addictive, indulging the homeowner fantasies of tens of millions of people with none of the anxiety and no down payment. Willa Paskin is Slate's TV critic who wrote about how Zillow and House Hunters and their like have made all of us into real estate experts. And Willa, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I love the title of the article in Slate, 110 Million Open Houses. What is it about glimpsing at someone else's home that is so appealing?
I mean, I think it almost feels like it's tapping into some lizard part of our brain that just wants to see where other people live. There is something that is so interesting and always is interesting about seeing how, like, not only the physical space, but how it's decorated of a stranger or an acquaintance's home, like what the insides look like. I mean, the thing is, when you go into someone's house, you can just tell so much about them, even more than from what they're wearing. You can tell their sophistication, you can tell sort of their taste, you can tell their ambition, you can tell their terrible taste. I mean, there's just so much available. There, you know, every item is a clue. And also, I think in a way it's also sort of taps into some of the same things that are fun about shopping, which is it's like you are always comparing it to what you have or what you would like or getting ideas or feeling happy that you would never want that particular armoire or whatever. It's almost like in a certain way, there's something ineffable about it because it's just really fun to look at people's houses.
Right. And like walking into someone's house when you're watching television or clicking through houses on Zillow, nobody's seeing you, right?
Totally. You get to be totally nosy without anyone having to know that you're nosy.
So do you think that's what's behind it, sort of being nosy, getting a glimpse into the lives of others? Or, you know, what is it, aspirational? Why can people spend hours and hours just looking through someone else's, other people's houses on Zillow?
I think there is something it's hard to explain about what itch it scratches in our minds. I mean, I think there is a curiosity, of course. You know, there are things to covet. There's a sort of an acquisitive desire there. But I think also, you know, it's really interesting to see houses that are disgusting and you never want to live in either. So, and that can be sort of pleasurable in a different way than just aspirational. Like, it's not only houses that you wish you could have that can be fun to look at.
Zillow is just one of these sites that shows you houses, that you can shop for houses. But also there are other sites where you can gossip about them.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that there's been a kind of democratization of real estate that is similar to lots of other arenas of our culture. I mean, I think there's probably a pretty close parallel, although it's like less discussed, with food culture and real estate culture, which is like we all have always had to eat. We've all always had to have shelter. But in the last decade, foodie culture has completely taken off. And there's ways that, you know, talking about restaurants and where people eat and what kind of things they're eating and if it's organic and where it comes from has supplanted talking about films or music or even television as a sort of party chatter. And there's a way that I think talking about apartments or houses and how much they cost and who's living where and the entire market going up and down and the economy collapsing has become a very common sort of cocktail party conversation. That these things have sort of become cultural objects in a way they used to just be sort of like physical necessities. And there are all these websites that cater to that. I mean, there's tons of websites about food and there's tons of websites about housing and about design and about architecture. And I think that the more of those things that there are, the more interested people are. And in the past, there obviously was like Architectural Digest and sort of higher end magazines about it, but it was catering to people who were sort of insiders, who were real estate agents or architects or knew the lingo. And now there's just it's just a more mass product and more people can be involved in it.
Well, and of course, home and garden television. This is this whole other universe, which I think you sort of pegged to starting with House Hunters back in 1999. Why do you think that so captivated people?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think it started with House Hunters. House Hunters started in 1999, but there was other shows at the time that were more popular, like Trading Spaces or Extreme Home Makeover, sort of a bunch of sort of more high profile shows. But House Hunters has had extremely crazy longevity, which is to say it's still on the air 17 years later. And in 1999, they probably made 20 episodes a year. It's just something around there, a normal amount. And now House Hunters and all of its spinoffs, of which there are an enormous number, they're in production for over 500 episodes a year. The network, HGTV, airs 2 episodes a night that are new, in addition to reruns. So it's just a huge number of that of like episodes of this one show that sort of always has a very, very similar format. And it's attracting over 30 million people a month, which is an enormous number as well. This show that's like extremely soothing in a strange way.
I love that point there. You know, unlike in the real world, real estate, things often go wrong. But on House Hunters, things always seem to work out.
Yeah, I mean, buying a house or not being able to afford having a house or having a house and wanting another house or having to do renovations. I mean, all of these things are actually really stressful. You know, real estate is a really stressful time in people's lives. I actually talked to someone from HGTV and he said, you know, they've done all these surveys and basically it's like having a baby and buying a house are like the two most, you know, disruptive and stressful experiences in people's lives over and over again. And House Hunters kind of turns that into, you know, what's going to happen every single episode. And so it's just become sort of mellowing and interesting and without any of the stressful parts.
And all of these spinoffs, House Hunters International, renovation, you know, international renovation, all this happened when the real estate market was tanking. So is there a sort of disconnect between real life and what happens on House Hunters?
Well, yeah, I think there is. And I don't think that that's actually at all surprising about why House Hunters would be even more popular. I mean, I think as the real world, and it's particularly real estate in the real world, gets extremely stressful, as, you know, the housing market collapsed, as even though we're sort of into the recovery, fewer people own homes now than they have in decades. It's much harder to get a mortgage than it was. I mean, the ripple effects of this continue. It's really nice to watch a show where everything is working exactly as it should, right? Where real estate just functions, where you don't ever get outbid, where, you know, you can always afford the place that you bought, that you never get a lemon, that you never purchased a house and you can't afford it and you know, you have to leave. It's like in the context of a crisis, it seems even more obvious why it would be comforting.
Well, Willa, thank you for letting us into this housing universe.
Thanks for having me.
Willa Paskin, Slate's television critic, who recently wrote 110 Million Open Houses, Zillow, House Hunters, and How Real Estate Became Entertainment. You'll find a link to read her article at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.
In the family room, right off the kitchen.
Okay.
This is huge.
This is amazing.
Huh? This is too big of a room, my point of view.
And what?
How are you going to clean that upstairs here? There's a huge window. Can you reach that?
You will figure a way.
Cedric, have you ever cleaned a window?
Yes. No.